Thank you, Bethany, Dina, Jen, and Nancy. Thank you. They did a beautiful job. And Mariana. Oh, she was on the piano. No wonder. Thank you. Sorry about that. Welcome to our annual Christmas event. I'm so happy. We are all so happy you're here, and we finally get to celebrate this great Christmas season. And so I hope this night proves to be a highlight of your Christmas season. We're going to have a raffle, and if Diana and Laura can come up, on your seats was a raffle ticket, and we have little gifts for coming, a couple of them. Thank you. Can you just take one? Yeah, just a second. Okay. Okay, if you have ticket number 808336, anybody have 808336? 808336. There's some empty seats, so maybe not. Okay, let's get another ticket. Okay, how about 808434? Anybody? 808434? No? Oh, boy. Okay.
Is everybody checking their tickets?
Check your tickets. Okay. How about 808322? Third time's a charm. 808. Oh, Cece. Yay. Okay. Cece. How about another ticket? Oh, you had a gift? Oh. 434? Okay. Okay. 808370. 370. Anybody in the back? 808370. Oh. Oh, Jeannie Horton. Oh, it's Jeannie Horton. Okay. And how about 808360? 360. Oh, Anne. Hi, Anne. Welcome. Yeah. We're in the house of God. We can trust you. Oh, gosh. Okay, 808-416. 416. Two more gifts left. 416. Going once, twice. Okay. I guess it's gone. Okay. One more. 442? 442? No. Okay. All right. All right. 333? Did someone just say that? Who's 333? Leanne, come get a gift. Yay! Okay. How about 343? 343. Sandy. Okay, great. Okay, the gifts are gone. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Many people make this happen, so it's not just me that threw this party. It's many of us that have this great heart for the Lord, and we wanted you to feel welcome, and we're glad you're here. So these programs, Nancy Abick made, and they're beautiful. And on the back are four women from our church who left a legacy of faith. One of them was French Howard, and she passed away a while ago, and she helped lead Bible studies. And Fran Gayer, she passed away during COVID, and she was an amazing lady and on the ministry team. And then Barbara Grant, and I loved Barbara Grant. She was a great mentor. And Julie Zied, she was up here last year with Robin, and so she passed away in the spring, and I think she left a big void for all of us and big shoes to fill. The ministry team, Tony and Laura and Robin, has asked me to help come alongside them and help with the women's ministry, and I feel very honored and blessed. So thank you. Thank you, ladies. And thanks. And so I want to introduce Rachel. She's our speaker. She came from Amador County. She lives in Pine Grove. Whenever I go down, my mom lives in Pine Grove, and so I go down to the church, and she is a beautiful singer up there on the worship team. And so we always go to the church at the call, and it's in Pine Grove. It's a beautiful church, and they have a lot of people that love the Lord. And she's a follower of Jesus. She likes to hike, and she's hasn't been snowshoeing in the mountains yet. Have you? Okay. So she hasn't yet. She likes hiking, and snowshoeing is hiking in the mountains in the winter. And she likes to go thrift shopping with her daughter. She's a mom of five, and her mom is here with my mom. So that's sweet. And she has been married for 25 years. And her husband is the pastor at the church. So welcome, Rachel, everybody. And she's... Come on up here. And she's going to be speaking about leaving a legacy of faith. And I just want to close our eyes and pray for her right now and pray for all of our hearts and minds. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time, such as a time as this, that you brought us all together right here and now. And just open up our hearts and our minds so that we can know you and know of your great love for us. And we thank you for your Son, who was born a humble birth, Lord, who came from heaven to earth to show us the way. We thank you for that free gift that we can receive through him, knowing him and walking with him all the days of our life. Lord, we sure love you, for you are our God, and we are your people. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. And we just pray for Rachel as she's going to be speaking to all these wonderful women at the lake. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. So how you girls doing? Good. So Katie is so sweet, and I love that she thinks that I would love snowshoeing. But I don't really like cold weather, and so it's like proof that God is real, that God loves you so much that I am here in the cold, okay? So I love to hike, and I love the summer. So just a little bit I wanted to share. I think it's always interesting when you go and you are speaking with women, like they have no idea who you are, and I would love to get to know some of you guys. I actually feel so blessed. Your women's ministry team, we've done several Zooms together, and I'm like, I love these girls. Like, it's been so fun to see them in real life, in person, and hug them has been really sweet. So wanted to share just a few things about me before we dive into tonight. But first of all, Katie said my husband, Brian, we've been married for 25 years, and we have 5 kids, and there they are. And so you might see 6 people up there, like 6 kid-ish people, and it's because my oldest son got married a year ago this October, so I'm literally a mother-in-law. And my husband, Brian, keeps telling me, you know, we're kind of getting old. At any point in time, they can tell us we're going to be grandparents. And I say, shut it down. Shut it down. So that's them. They're so cute. So it's Jaden, Kaylin, Ireland, Harrison, Eden, and my daughter-in-law is Lauren. So super fun group of humans. I love them so, so much. Yes. So my husband and I, just to give you a little backstory, don't judge. This is church, so please don't be judgy. But I met him when I was 12. We were in the 7th grade, and I sat right behind him, and I stared at his neck, and I was like, I want to kiss that neck. You guys, it's so, and now I get to do that anytime I want. So it's great. 25 years, he is still my boyfriend. I call him boyfriend, and he's my life's greatest joy. So I wanted to share with you as far as raising kids. So our kids, their ages are 21, 19, 17, 15, and 14. And so would you guys, if you are a parent in this generation, if you have kids at home, if you have kids, like, just raise your hand. Okay. If you have nieces or nephews or people that are in your life that are young. Okay. So I just want to share with you as a mom of teenagers and a lot of them, like, any one of us that have parented in this generation, we are literally pioneers because there's no generation before us that has ever had to navigate the internet, social media, this phone thing all the time, you know. It's out of control, and sometimes I, like, look at all of it, and we were really, really strict with our kids, and I just want to encourage you, if you are parenting in this current day and age, we have our oldest son. He's like our guinea pig child, you know, like, so we would let him have an app, or we'd let him download a game, and then I would, like, find out about something about the app or the game, and I'd be like, oh, we got to shut that down, and then he'd be like, what you said? You said I could have that, and I'm like, I know, but I'm your mom, and I'm so sorry. I don't really know what I'm doing, and so we have to, like, we're just going to, like, cancel it out, and you're going to have to forgive me, and I'm sorry. Just know that I love you so much. So he got the internet on his phone when he was 18 and going off to college. Yeah. So that's how strict we are. It's a big deal just to monitor, like, kids are going to do whatever they're going to do, but I think as parents, we have to kind of set the boundaries. So the often in parenting all these children and dealing with junior high, high school, I've also worked with youth kids for years. Do you ever think, like, how amazing it would be? I grew up in the 80s, so I was a child of the 80s. Like, would you want, like, I want my kids to experience that. Like, life was so simple. Or maybe you're like, oh, no, not the 80s. Like, how about the 50s or the roaring 20s? You know, like, all these generations we think. But I just want to encourage you, and I know it's on your program, Esther 4:14, for perhaps you were born at such a time as this. And it's really true. And I tell my kids that, and this is the generation that God's called you to. This is the generation. When you get on your school campuses, it's dark. There's crummy stuff going on. But this is your generation. This is who God's called you to be, and we have to go be lights in the world. So I wanted to share with you, I thought we could do a quick little history lesson, go through history. It's interesting. Like, when you think of science or different things, I was talking to a group of women earlier this week, and we were talking about places like the Jelly Belly Factory. Have you guys ever been there? So you walk through the Jelly Belly Factory. It's kind of like scientific. They give you this whole breakdown in like a couple minutes in. I'm like, this is so fun. Do you smell the sugar? And then like 3 minutes later, I'm like, this is so boring. When are they going to give us the free jelly beans? And so, and my kids, like, the kids pay attention the whole time. Same Monterey Bay Aquarium. That's so amazing and scientific for those of you that love animals and fish, like, so fun for you. But I go and I'm like, is this almost over, you guys? Let's go to the ocean. So just so you know, I'm not a science girl, but I do love history and I love knowing about people. And so I wanted to walk with you a little bit through history. Esther is from the Bible. And so I wanted to share with you, I want you to imagine with me a timeline. And this isn't a very big whiteboard. So just imagine beginning of time to all of eternity. So we have Queen Esther, and we'll just put her here, and I'll do QE. And she comes on the scene. She becomes the queen in 479 BC. So what we know from history, what we know from the book of Esther, is that her and her family were taken from their land. They were exiled to Persia, and she has no parents. She is being raised by her uncle, Mordecai, and she's of Jewish descent, and so they are there, and there is something going on. King Xerxes, he's the king of Persia at the time. He is on a hunt for a wife, a new wife, because he banished the one that he previously had. And it's like ABC's The Bachelor reality show. Like, if you read Queen Esther, the story of Queen Esther, it's really like, there's a lot of comparisons. Here's a king. He's looking for his bride. All these women are coming together, and they want to win his heart. They want to capture his attention. And so if you read from the scriptures, these women that were wanting to earn the favor of King Xerxes, it was 1 year of beauty treatments. 1 year. Like, how many of you, like, it's hard enough to just to get ready, like, in 30 minutes, okay? Like, 1 year of beauty treatments to try to win his favor. And so God, in only a way that God can, allows Esther to become the queen, and King Xerxes asked her to be the queen. So she becomes this queen, 479 BC. At this time also, King Xerxes has his first in command guy. His name is Haman, and he despises the Jews, and he despises Mordecai. And he has a plot to take out the Jews. And so Queen Esther is in a position. Her husband, the king, has no idea that she's of Jewish descent. And she has to go and tell the king. Sorry about that, you guys. The king, please don't destroy my people. And so her uncle Mordecai, and that's the scripture that we see in Esther 4:14. The whole verse says this: for if you remain silent at this time, it's Mordecai to Esther, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this, 479 BC. So Queen Esther, she made her mark in history. That's how we know about her. We know about her here is because she made her mark, and she spoke to the king, and her people were saved. It's a pretty incredible story. I encourage you to read it if you haven't before. So going through history, we're going to run through just a few different people in history. And since we're all women, I'm talking all about the girls tonight. Okay, so Florence Nightingale, how many of you were just going to do FN, 1820 to 1910 was when she lived. How many of you are familiar with Florence Nightingale? So she has been labeled as the most extraordinary nurse in all of history. Kings, queens, princes consulted her, as did the President of the United States, who wanted her advice about military hospitals during the Civil War. She single-handedly revolutionized the field of nursing, a mission that began with a call to God service at the age of 17. So we know from history books, from any story that we know of her, she was 17 years old, and she felt like God was calling her into this field of nursing. And at this time, it was not a glamorous field. It was kind of for the lowly people. It was very unsanitary, and her family was very wealthy, very affluent, and they were very in opposition against her. They did not want her to go into nursing because it was not for her, you know, in her family line. But she felt that call to God to go and to make a difference. And so we know her in history. 1820, she left her mark. The third person I want to talk to you guys about is Corrie ten Boom. And so we'll just say CTB. She was born in 1892. She lived until 1983. And I'm sure a lot of you know her from history as well. But she was trained to be a watchmaker, and in 1922 became the first woman licensed as a watchmaker in Holland. Over the next decade, in addition to her working in her father's shop, she established a youth club for teenage girls, which provided religious instruction as well as classes in the performing arts, sewing, and handicrafts. During the war, her family home became a refuge for the Jews, students, and intellectuals. The facade of the watch shop made the house an ideal front for these activities. So there was a secret room in their house. It was actually in her bedroom, her closet. There was a space that could hold up to six people, all of whom had to stand still and quiet. The entire Boone family became active in the Dutch resistance, risking their lives harboring those who were hunted by the Gestapo. Some fugitives would only stay for a few hours, while others would stay several days until another safe house could be located. This is so cool. I love this. Corrie ten Boom became the leader in the movement, overseeing a network of safe houses in the country. Through these activities, it was estimated that 800 Jews' lives were saved because of this girl, Corrie ten Boom. Right here. She made her mark in history. Another person we're going to talk about is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was 1910 to 1997. She was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979 for her work in bringing help to suffering humanity, known to minister to those that others would not even consider. the lowliest of lowly. She became one of the most famous missionaries of all time, right here. And if you read up on Mother Teresa, she felt very unworthy to even do what she did. And look what she did. Like, it's so incredible to me. The last person we're going to talk about on this little timeline is Rosa Parks. I'm just writing her full name because I forgot my abbreviations. 1913. So this girl, she was a seamstress, a civil rights activist who became famous for her refusal to obey a bus driver's demand that she give up her seat for a white male. Do you kind of like, this makes me excited when I was reading, I'm like, you're so fun. So it's such a rebel for good. Her arrest for civil disobedience triggered the Montgomery bus boycott, which launched one of its first organizers, Martin Luther King Jr., to the forefront of history. She was the launching, right? Pretty crazy. In her book, Quiet Strength, Park says this about how God helped her on that fateful day that she refused to give up her seat. I felt the Lord would give me the strength to endure whatever I had to face. God did away with all my fear. It was time for someone to stand up, or in my case, sit down. I refused to move. And so here she is, making her mark in history. So you and I, we may never have anything to do with the medical field. You may pass out if you see the sight of blood. It may not be you. We may never become a queen or rescue a whole entire group of people in a country or be a civil rights activist. Like, these are all things that maybe you and I will never be a part of or do. But you and I have been called by God in this generation for such a time as this to make great impact. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you come from tonight, no matter where you have been, each one of us, we have been created. You have been created by the God of heaven for a purpose, on purpose. You are not here by mistake. I'm not here by mistake, even though it's cold outside. Like, I'm here for a purpose, and it's to share with you that you are here for a purpose, for such a time as this. This is your night. This is our night that we're going to unload and unleash, like, what God has for us. So I just want to share with you, we're going to go through some scriptures from the book of James, and I brought a prop. It's a mirror, and I'm so embarrassed because we loaded it in the car. There's like fingerprints on it, and then the snow was coming down. So just pretend it's a very clean mirror. But we're going to read from James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. And I just, you know, the whole theme of tonight is to be someone that leaves a godly legacy. And I just want to encourage us as we come into this room as women that we will not be a legacy leaver, like a godly legacy leaver. Each one of us will leave a legacy. It's just kind of up to us what we're going to leave. But we will not leave a godly legacy without living a godly legacy. So you can't be a legacy leaver if you're not a legacy liver. Sounds weird, but it's how it goes. Okay, so James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, it says this: therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word. The Bible is the word of God. Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. So I'm just going to share with you four marks of a legacy leaver, and it's from James chapter 1 again, starting in verse 21. But the first is that the first person that you want to leave your mark, your legacy mark, it's to leave behind your sin. So verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And so I feel like I'm just kind of being bold tonight, but I just want to, it's so important. I think that in this time of history, such a time as this, we have to draw a line in the sand. It's go time. It's decision time. And I think that so many of us, if you think of the line in the sand, we're living in our sin. We're doing our own thing. We're like oblivious to God, what he's calling us to, the work he's trying to do in our lives. We're just so caught up in our own stuff that we are like not even living out the purposes or what he's called us to be in this lifetime. And so the line's been drawn. Here's our sin, all the ways that we just so naturally flow towards, and it's time to decide. It's time to decide to get rid of our sin. And I want to encourage you, I am married to a fisherman. I don't like fishing. I go when it's warm outside, and he asks me 45 times, and I'm like, oh, I should probably go, you know? So I don't like fishing, but here's the deal. My fisherman babe of a husband, he does not catch clean fish. They're gross and they're dirty and they have to be cleaned out. And it's the same with us. We don't come to God. God doesn't ask us to be all cleaned up and pretty and get all your stuff together and then you can come to me. He says, come on, come as you are and I'll do the work. I'll get you clean. So I just want to encourage you there. You don't have to show up to God being something perfect or even close to it. I have a family member that was very far from God. He had a couple of marriages that were failed, kids that were not a part of his life. Alcohol was the reason, just a lot of poor choices in his life. My family had prayed for him for years. For years, there would be conversations, there would be prayers. He had a job opportunity, came into town, was invited to church. He went, which was a miracle in and of itself, and he heard the message of Jesus that he came and he died on a cross for his sins. He gave his life to the Lord, and alcohol was no longer a thing. No longer a thing, because God did a transforming work in his life. The line was drawn in the sand, and it was decision time, and he decided to leave it behind, and he is no longer on this earth. He's in heaven, but he remained faithful the whole entire time for the rest of his life. So God does that, but we have to do our part. We have to leave behind our sin. The second mark of a legacy leaver is someone who looks and examines their lives, which is the mirror. So how many of us, I think just in a, I'll read this scripture, verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's like us looking in a mirror, seeing lipstick on our teeth, coffee down our top, and like, oh, I'm fine. And you know what? Depending on the day, you might just say that, and I might too, right? Like, it just, let's be real. I do have a son, my 15-year-old, and sometimes I think it happens so much. I'm like, I think he just messes with me, but he's always like, hey, Mom, you got a little lipstick on your teeth. And so I feel like he saves the day a lot, but then half the time I'm like, I think he's just totally trying to mess with me and get me all like, anyway, but we have this mirror. And I think that sometimes I'm so thankful that my mom is here. She's like such a beautiful human, but I'm just going to talk to you about everybody about, this is not her mirror, but she has a mirror at her house and it makes you look 15 pounds thinner. And I love it. I love it. I was like, what is with this mirror? I need to go eat a sandwich. And so she's like, I love it. It's my favorite. It's why I bought it. She probably got it on clearance because it's so like deceptive. So I think that we can deceive ourselves and we can be like, oh, I'm not that bad. Like, I'm pretty, you know, whatever. Like the mirror there. I don't know if you've heard this said. There is a woman who once said she avoids every single thing that makes her fat. Pictures, mirrors, scales. So avoiding reality. It's so important. We have to inspect our lives. We have to examine our lives. Where am I at? What is God calling me to be? And we need to make some shifts in our lives. Do you guys track it with me? How many of you guys have seen those mirrors? This is like a newer thing for me that I've, in the last year, my eyesight's getting worse because I'm like becoming a little bit older. I'm almost a grandma. You heard that. But the magnifying mirrors, have you seen those? Yeah, where you're like, oh, I'll like be able to do my makeup better. And your pores are bigger than you ever knew. And you're like, I had no idea I had wrinkles on my cheek. So like, just so I think we kind of need to inspect our lives in a spiritual way, in an internal way, kind of like that magnifying mirror. The third mark of a legacy leaver. So the first is to leave behind your sin, to look, to see yourself for where you're at, where you want to go. And the third is to live for God, honor God with obedience. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And many of us treat obedience, obey, like a four-letter word, O-B-E-Y, like I don't like that word, because we want to do our own thing. And I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, when God calls us to things, when God calls us to walk in obedience, we will never regret walking in obedience. And I shared with you before that Brian and I have 5 kids, and so our older 3 are biological babies. Our youngest 2 are adopted out of foster care. They were ages 2 and 3 when we got them, when they were placed with us, and now they are 14 and 15, and there has been a lot of hurt and trauma in their young lives prior to them being with us and placed with us, and it has been probably the hardest thing I've ever have had to deal with. On a everyday basis, I have, my youngest has a lot of behavioral, a lot of emotional, a lot of learning disability, so it's a constant challenge. But I know with confidence that God called us. He called the same exact day. It's a crazy story, but He called us on the exact same day to adopt. And so I had been praying and reading a portion. Actually, it was from James, chapter 1, and it's true religion is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And so I was like, Lord, I think it's time. I've always wanted to adopt. We had had this conversation over the years. It was never time, really, we didn't feel. And so just praying through that, I actually called the local foster care agency, and I was like, I said, I'd like to get some paperwork, got some information. And then Brian came home from work that day, and he's like, hey, I think we need to have a talk. And I was like, all right. And he said, I think it may be time to adopt. And I was like, what? And I started so it's just crazy. So I know that God called us to adopt. It has not been easy. And I think that in obedience, a lot of times it takes grit. It takes a lot of keep showing up. Like some days you just like, I just want to binge watch Netflix, whatever. No, keep showing up. You have to live this life even in the hard things. So to live for God. So the adoption, I would say, is a big one in my own personal life. And you guys probably, there's probably 500 other things out there that you guys have each experienced as well. But I think just even on a smaller scale of walking in obedience with the Lord, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a grocery store and I'm in line, I'm almost wrapping up. I turn around and there's this young guy, probably in his 20s, behind me in line, and he looked really rough. He looked really, really rough, really worn, buying alcohol. And I was like, I think he's a homeless buddy, like just so sad. And I felt like the Lord was not audibly, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but just this like, girl, you need to hug him and tell him that Jesus loves him. And I was like, I am not doing that. That is so weird. And he's a boy, and he's going to be like, why are you hugging me, lady? You know, so I was like, I will not do that. And so I left, and I was like loading up my car, and then he like walked by me again, and I was like, I can't go hug him now. That's so weird. I'm like chasing him down in the parking lot. Like, it just got weirder. It got weirder. So then I got in the car, and I left, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know that God was asking me to do that for that young guy. And so here's the deal. You guys can all pray because you're in church. It counts more. So pray. My prayer is that, Lord, let nothing happen to him. And maybe God's just going to use someone completely different, someone that would obey, to give him a hug and tell him that Jesus loves him. But my prayer is that I would have another encounter with. We live in a small community, and the store that he was at, I'm sure will be a store that he's at again. So that is my prayer, that I would have that encounter again. So fast forward a week later, which was last week, I was at Trader Joe's, like an hour and a half from home, scrolling through there. I had no children, no responsibilities for the afternoon, so it was a really good day. And walking through there, and there's this mama, and she has her shopping cart, and she's like a pro. I'm like, oh, she's just like pro. So she has her shopping cart, and then behind her, she has her probably 6 or 7-year-old little girl that is in a wheelchair. And I was like, mama, like, I can just feel it, like you have a lot. And I looked at the little girl. I didn't know if she would be responsive to me or anything. And so I like kind of was looking at her and like waving. And then she just got like the biggest smile. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I started talking to her daughter. And she's like, thank you so much. I'm like, yeah. So I turn and walk. And I feel again that the Lord is like, you need to tell her that I see her. and that I love her. And I'm like, no, I am going to order on Rayleigh's e-cart. I'm not going to grocery stores anymore. So I was like, okay, well, I just was with her, so I'm sure I'll see her again in the next aisle or something. So I was walking in obedience, but it was like a little bit delayed. So I'm there at the register. I'm sure I'm going to see her again. And the guy's talking to me at the register, and he's ringing me up, and then I see her. I'm like, okay, this is my time. I was like super disobedient last week. This week, I'm going to say all the things. And so I'm like, hey, remember I was just over there? And so awkward. Like, you guys, that's so awkward. So I was like, I'm so sorry. I just need to tell you that you're doing a really good job. You're doing a really good job. I see you. But bigger than that, I really felt like God was wanting me to tell you that he sees you and that he thinks you're doing a really good job. And I don't know if you know the Lord, I don't know if you know Jesus, but he sees you and he loves you. And she just started crying, and we like hugged. She's like hugging me, and she's like, I'm a single mom. And it was just this sweet, I'm not going to go into details, but just a super sweet encounter. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, like, what if I was like, I'm not doing that. That's weird. You tried to do like have me do that last week, and that was weird too, you know? But just even those little things, like when you're at the grocery store and you feel it and you're like, oh Lord, that's weird. I'm going to look weird. It's fine. Like, just let's all look weird together and do our thing and live in obedience. So if you and I want to leave a lasting mark in this generation, and I just want to encourage you, the timeline keeps going, that you and I, we have a mark to leave in this life, and there's no promise of tomorrow. Today, we need to make that decision of what kind of legacy are we going to leave. But I want to just encourage you, I think that when it comes to really leaving a legacy, that we have to level up. We have to level up in our lives. And I think we're holistic beings, so we have to level up like holistically. And just so you know, I'm a failure in every category in different seasons. Like, some seasons I'll do really good. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing so good in this category or whatever. So we are all a work in progress. No one is perfection. No one. So just keep that in mind. Don't beat up on yourself. None of us have it together. But when you think of holistically as us human beings, like mind, body, soul, spirit, like those are the areas, the categories that we need to level up in. And so the first is mind. Just for us to kind of evaluate, what are we listening to? What are we watching? What are the podcasts? What are the YouTube? You know, what conversations are we having? What kind of people are we hanging out with? And here's the deal. If you are a Christian, if you are a Jesus follower, God has called you to be light in darkness. You sure better have some people in your life that don't know the Lord. You better have friends that don't know the Lord. Like, they need you to be in their lives, to minister to them, to love them, through all their crazy seasons, whatever that looks like. But as far as your closest people, so you and I, we become like the five people we hang out with the most. So if the five people, it's true. Are you laughing because it's scary? So you become like the five people you hang out the most with. So if all your people that you're hanging out with all the time are people that gossip and slander, don't love Jesus, are drinking, doing drugs, whatever it may be, like, you're probably not far from making those similar decisions. And so I have a lot of people in my life currently that are newer believers that are just starting their relationship with the Lord. And they're like, the hardest thing is like these friendships that they love these people, even family members and stuff, but they're like, they're just not good for me. They're offering me things that I'm trying to walk away from. And so here's the deal. Love them, keep being in their life, keep loving them, but you can have boundaries. And so maybe that family that you used to be so tight with and do all the family vacations, maybe it's like, hey, let's grab lunch together. Haven't seen you for a while, so your time is more limited. Does that make sense? But just that we have a protection of our mind, that we're leveling up with in all categories, what we're taking in. The second is our body. When it comes to our physical health, it's time to stop making excuses and start making changes. And that looks different for each and every one of us too. So I know a lot of thin people that are very unhealthy with what they eat. So, I mean, some people, we need to cut out sugar. Maybe some people, I know I was talking about the Netflix thing, like binge watching Netflix. Maybe it's time to turn off that Netflix and go on a walk, you know? or snowshoe with my friend Katie. She needs someone that likes the snow to go out with her. And then soul and spirit. The soul, this is just as a definition, the soul is the essence of humanity's being. It's who we are, our emotions, our personality. And then the spirit is the immaterial part of humanity that connects us with God, that connects us with the Lord. You and I will never be fully satisfied. We will never be filled up. We will always want more until we have the Lord in our lives. Have you experienced that in your life? Like, you can have all the things. You can have all the things. And if you don't have the thing, Jesus Christ, there's an emptiness. There's a longing and a yearning for more. Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, my soul finds rest in God alone. He is the place where we find rest. Psalm 90, 12, I love this verse. It says, our days are numbered by God. We don't really have a lot of control over things. Warren Wiersbe puts it like this, since life is so brief, we cannot afford to merely spend our lives. We must, and we certainly don't want to waste our lives. We must invest our lives in those things that are eternal. So in just speaking of, you know, living our lives well, I just wanted to share with you, we are all up against tough things. We are all up against tough things. And just, I want to encourage you not to ever compare your journey to someone else. You know, there are people that struggle in marriage, and they have always struggled in marriage. And then there are people that are struggling in their health, and it's just something that's not going away for them. It's someone in raising children, in parenting. Maybe it's caring for your parents, or whatever the situation is. We all have really, really difficult things that we're walking through. And so just to know, like, as we lead ourselves, like, that it does take, we do have to have some grit and some determination to get through these things. So our days are numbered. I want to encourage us too that the decisions that we've made in the past, the decisions that we made yesterday, they do impact today. They do. But also the decisions that we are here tonight, the decision maybe for the first time ever that you would make to, like, follow after God, or just even, like, want to pursue truth, that decision will also impact tomorrow and generations to come. And so I believe God has called us to be legacy leavers. And when you think of all the women in history that we talked about tonight, we know them by name. They're historical figures, but we do not know the names. We do not know the names of the grandmas, of the aunties, of the siblings, of the neighbor that baked cookies and always told, or the teacher that told that student, you're so smart, you're so capable. We don't know those stories. And so, you know, our names may not ever appear in history books, but we have impact on this generation, especially if you're a mom, if you're a grandma, if you're an aunt, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a teacher. You were created to impact this generation. Do you believe that? Yeah, it's a really big deal. It's a really, really big deal. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. So several years ago, I had a newborn baby. I had a 2-year-old. I had a 4-year-old. And I cannot remember what it was. It was something in the news or a TV show. But I remember thinking, this world is so dark. I cannot believe we're, like, raising kids in this dark. And look at it now, like, all these years later. Like, I cannot believe I'm raising these babies in this, like, terrible world. And then this was the portion of scripture that, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. And just not to be a bragging mom, I know, like, the rose-colored glasses, the distorted mirror that makes you look 15 pounds thinner, but just seeing my kids living out their God-given purposes, like, they are living for the Lord. It's the coolest thing ever. I have one of my daughters, she's 19, she's in cosmetology school. And she's known as the Christian girl. She's known as a Christian. They're like, are you the Christian girl? She's like, yeah. Can you pray for me? Actually, I've been thinking about God a lot more lately. Like, just all these weird things. I'm like, you go, girl. Like, you do real good in hair so you can do your mom's hair. And then you also impact these women, okay, these young women. And then I have another son who my married son. I keep looking back like he's still here with me. But my married son, he is been drumming. You guys, he's so cute. So he's the one on the far right. So when he was 4 years old, I was in the car listening to worship music, and he would be tapping his hand on his leg to like tempo to a beat, and I would with the song, and I was like, you are like a magical, amazing human. You're gonna be a musician. Like, I just thought all these things. And so we were like, we have to buy him a drum kit. We have to buy him. So 4 years old, we get this drum kit from Costco for $99, and he comes down Christmas morning and he sits at it and he's like, but like just totally plays the drums, the weirdest thing. So he's been playing the drums. He started in youth ministry, and then by the time he was in eighth grade, he's been playing like literally every single Sunday of his life. He's so gifted. And then he's wrapping up his senior year at William Jessup University. He's going into leadership. That will be his degree. But he's pursuing worship ministry, loves the Lord. His wife, I love, she's my dream daughter-in-law. So I had two things. I'm just rambling. I had two things, though, just in speaking of, like, legacy and generations. I had two things that I prayed when he was little. Lord, his future wife, would you please let her love you so much that she would be a Jesus follower? And then the second thing is that she would love him as much as I love his dad. So she's the sweetest thing, but we'll sometimes sit in the front row together, and if he's up there and she's sitting next to me, she'll lean over and she's like, why is he so perfect? I'm like, oh my gosh, the Lord is real. Like, it's just so, so sweet. But I just think, like, that's so great. God is so faithful. When we live this thing out, when we love the Lord, when we point our kids towards Jesus, he shows up. He does a work in them. They are not perfect. They have their stuff, but they're in pursuit of God. They want a relationship with God. It's so amazing. And also, I'm just going to brag on my mom since she's here. She is a first generation Christian. So she was the first of her family. It was her and one of her cousins. They were the first ones in her family that came to know the Lord. And they were picked on. They were slandered. You Jesus freaks. Like, they were totally put down for their faith. And almost all of her family has come to know the Lord since then. And so that right there is a generational thing. Like, that you may have the biggest train wreck. And we're talking on my dad's side, he's also first generation Christian. We're talking affairs, adultery, alcohol, drug addiction. I mean, you just name every single thing you can think of in like categories of sin and just destruction of life. It's on both sides. It's on both sides. And then come the Lord. And then comes Jesus, transforms my mom's life, transforms my dad's life, and the ripple effect. And so I just want to encourage you, your family, your generation, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, it starts with one. So you making a commitment to follow after the God can to follow after God can impact generations. So I just want to, I guess, kind of want to call people out because I think it's important that we stand and we. I'm just going to share a few different things, and if it's descriptive of you, I'm just going to ask that you stand in boldness because I think it's important. If we're going to level up, if we're going to be impact makers, if we're going to leave our mark in this generation, we have to be bold and stand. We have to talk to the people in the grocery store, all the things. But I just want to invite you. If you're here tonight and you have never accepted the Lord, if you've never even knew that Jesus came, that he died on a cross for your sins, that there is a hope that can be found in him, that he brings fullness of joy, that he can transform your life, that he can transform generations from now, if that's you, that you want that, I just want you to know that salvation and coming to know Christ is as simple as ABC, that you admit that you're a sinner for all of sin and fall short of God's glorious ideal. B is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We must believe. And then C is to confess that he is Lord and commit our lives to him. So it's that easy of an ABC thing. But maybe if you're here tonight and you're like, you know what? I may not know everything, but I do want to walk with God. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to have a journey that starts like that. I'm going to pray at the end, but I'm just going to ask if that's you, if you're like, that's where I'm at. I do. I want to have a relationship with the Lord. I want to start that journey. I'm going to ask that you stand up. If you are a person who maybe has been, here's the line in the sand, here's your sin, and you're living in it, and you know God's called you to more. You know he's called you to be an impact maker, a generational person that's going to show up for their people, for their children, for their children's children. But you keep walking on over here where he has not called you, but you're like, no, I want to be on this side. I'm going to ask you to stand up as well. And then if you are a person who maybe really loves the Lord and is following after him and walking in obedience as much as you can. Obviously, we're not perfect, but you want to kind of go next level with the Lord and like, yeah, I'm going to walk in obedience and I'm ready. I'm game for what's next. I'm going to ask you to stand. So if you are in any three of those categories, would you stand up? Would you stand up with me? And I just want to pray over each and every one of you. And I'm so thank you guys so much for having me and being here. You guys are all so kind. Every single person, I'm like, oh, they're so nice up here in this cold weather Tahoe. So I just so appreciate the opportunity, but really do want to pray a blessing over your lives and that you would have impact in just in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in your workplace, in your families, and just that you and I, that we would both lead our lives well. God, thank you for these women, for each lady that is here, for each lady that has stood declaring different things, maybe salvation for the first time, not really knowing much, but wanting to pursue you. For those that maybe have been walking in sin and just are in need of a redirection, in need of a reset, that you would go before them, and for anyone that just really wants to go next level and do what you've called them to, Lord, I just pray that you would empower each lady here, that you would give them the courage to walk in things that you're calling them to, that you would give them strength and endurance and grit, and that you would keep showing up in our lives, that everywhere we turn, we cannot turn from you because you are so real and you are so present and you want to do a work in us. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to this generation. Even though it's weird and there's so many things, God, you have called us here. You do not make a mistake. For such a time as this, we are here and we want to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.